we all search for a subject when we get up here to try to give people a lesson. And one thing that's occupied a lot of my time at work lately is building a new area for the pilots so that they can be trained in ultimate secrecy. And it's almost like a vault situation. And in this vault situation, there's 11 doors. Out of those 11 doors, they have to be completely soundproof. To be soundproof, the door has to withstand 45 decibels, which would be pretty close to me speaking like this for that door to withstand. So far, out of 11 doors, I have zero that have passed. I've got up to the threshold of 40, but I've never got to the threshold of 45. So it's something that's, I'm not sure is possible to do. I don't think I've ever seen one. But where these doors are manufactured, they told me that it was possible. So the manufacturer has came and worked on them, and he has the same situation I have. He hasn't made them pass. We're going to work on them again Monday. These doors are about $5,000 a piece to install and to purchase, and they're extremely heavy. They're solid steel. So since I've been occupying so much of my time with that, I thought this morning I would talk about doors. A door is a movable, usually solid barrier for opening and closing an entranceway, a cupboard, a cabinet, or the like, commonly turning on hinges and sliding in grooves. That's what a door is. If we think about how many doors we come in contact each day, it'd be astounding. So when you think about that during the day, think about how many doors you're going to touch today. Each of us are going to get in a car door. Each of us got through a door to get here. And I think on the base that I work on, there's over 1,800 doors, counting hangar doors, cabinet doors. Everything you can think of has a door. The thing about a door is it takes action. There's very few doors that you come up on that automatically open for you. There is a few of those, but they usually want your money. Most of the doors that open automatically, what I've found is trying not to get you tired before you give them money. But most other doors take you doing something with them. So I started studying to see if I could find things on doors in the scriptures. Doors are often things that we take for granted. Doors are not easy to install. Anybody who's ever put a door in can probably sit there and talk about the number of hours it took to make it right. If I bring doors down into three purposes to make them as simple as I can make them, a door is admittance, obstruction, and protection, the three purposes for doors. I got my lesson from John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Here we find that this door is Christ. Christ calls himself a door. And I thought this was pretty interesting. And in this statement, he says, anyone. Anyone enters this door. It's for everyone. He will offer everyone salvation if you come and can enter into him, which he is a door. This gives us insight on Christ's primary mission. He's here to touch everyone, because we think about the doors that we touch to get where we want to go. We all want to go to heaven. Everybody on this world wants to go to heaven. We find in this verse that the only way to get there is to open this door. So the only way to get there is to touch this door and to touch Christ. He comes to give life, and we find this in John 3:16, where he talks about the world. The world is all-inclusive, all people that are created. And if we think about the instincts, especially the motherly instincts, is you want to take care of your kids. You want to do whatever it is possible. Your kids can do no wrong. Most parents think that their kids can do no wrong. Well, Christ and God are the same. We are all their children. They're here and they want everyone of the world to be saved, everyone to make it to heaven. The door that is Christ is the only door we find in John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This door is not some armor-plated door, not some sound door, not some super heavy door. It is unique. It is a one-of-a-kind door. I found the study in John and reading through different scriptures, I found that the Gospel of John is very controversial. And I didn't know that it was until I started studying about it. But I found that it creates more of a feeling, more of a touching, more of a wrapping your arms around Christ than any other gospel. And he's very specific. No other place do you find that he is the door. You have to touch him. And you find that in John. So we can't be politically correct. We can't say that there's other ways to get to heaven. There is no other way to get to heaven. There is no other way. The Bible is very plain. We find Jesus claims that he's not a new way. He's not a better way. He is the only way. His door is the only way. So when you hear different ways to get to heaven, it's easy to point back to Christ. Anybody that doesn't believe in Christ and doesn't believe in that way has no chance. The door that is Christ is very narrow. We find in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Here we find that Christ's door is very narrow. It's not a huge door. Living for Christ isn't easy. We have to have the proper priorities. We have to think about it every day. It's something you have to think about. We can't enter through Christ and still live like the world. Living like the world is but an outcome, destruction, and eternal separation. We have another scripture where it says you must strive. And Luke, it talks about the same verses we find in Matthew, but it says, strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So we need to run like a race. We need to strive. We have to think about it. I'm going to switch to another door we find in Revelation 3:8. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. This is the door of opportunity, the door of service. It's the door of acting and doing the word of God, just as he said it before you. It's a door of service. This passage was given to the church of Philadelphia. Because they've kept God's word, they proclaimed him, they talk about him, they spread his word. It talks about this open door to them. Christ is an open door. He's opened a door to this congregation. Is Christ open door to our congregation? Is the door open? Does he say, the Pleasant Hill Church of Christ, the door's open? I assume he does. I think we do everything that we need to keep that door open. We work very hard. We don't know what the opportunities that he talks about for the Church of Philadelphia is, but we do know that they can close this door, but they won't. Christ knows they won't. He says no man will close this door. He knows that that church will do the right thing and that they will continue to do the right thing. This type of door is also found in 1 Corinthians 16:8 and 9, where Paul talks about that he's going to stay in a location because there's doors of opportunity there. There's people that need help. So we find the same type of door in 1 Corinthians where he talks about Paul being there for the day of Pentecost. So he's going to wait in an area until the day of Pentecost so that he has an open door of opportunity, sees people that need help. We are called to a life of service, to use our opportunities, to use our appointments. This is found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here we find the great commission that we are to spread the word of God, teach about Christ, baptizing all nations, in the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Ghost. It's service. Loving God and loving others is service. Taking Christ to the nations is service. All of its work. The Church of Philadelphia had that ability, and the doors open. This deals with both spiritual and physical needs of life. This door man can close by not doing the service. We can be lazy, as it talks about in Proverbs 6 through 9, where it talks about the ant. It talks about the worker ant that nobody has to tell them to go work. They go work. They actually look for something to do, and they go do it. That's found in Proverbs 6 through 9. We can be slothful. We can be those individuals that don't answer questions when people of the world ask. We don't want to talk about things. We all get asked questions. We all have the ability to spread the gospel. We need to take that. Take that, and if you don't know the answer, find the answer and get back with them. But answer the questions. The next door is, which no man can open, is found in Matthew 25:10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. This is the door of heaven. This is the door of heaven. The door is open only to those who are ready. There's a lot of people of this world that want to wait till the very last minute. They want to wait and accept the service that they need to be doing every day of their life. They want to wait until the very last quarter, the very last two-minute warning, the very last 50 seconds. They want to wait till the very last. And that's what he's talking about here. Is there's people out there that may be locked out. The door of heaven may be closed. Because we have no idea. We don't know when Christ is going to come again. And our opportunities end at that point. We have the opportunity while we're on this earth to do service. That's what he's talking about here. We need to be ready. We are given a list of people who the door of heaven will not be open to. We find this in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Here we have a list. It's not an exhaustive list. It could be chapters. It could be a book just on the things that the human beings are capable of doing. We have this list of people that the door is closed to unless you ask for forgiveness. And again, it takes action. It takes doing something. The door is closed on these people unless they go up to it and they go to Christ and they open the door and they ask for forgiveness. There's another door in Revelations 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. The door of this is man's heart. If we think about where our soul resides, God talks a lot about the heart. He talks about your feelings, the way you feel, your heart. The passage is addressed to the church of Laodicea. What was the problem in the church of Laodicea? They were lukewarm. They would jump on each side of the fence, whichever was the best today, wherever they needed to be today. They were lukewarm. Jesus reverses the order in this verse, then he teaches us back in Matthew 7:7. So I'd like to turn back to Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But here, when Christ is addressing this church, he's knocking. They already know. They know what they need to do. They don't need to ask. He's knocking on their heart and saying, you need to give me the respect and give me what you know that you need to be doing. You need to do the right thing. So we find in this door, which is the heart of man, they already knew. So Christ is appealing to them. He's actually knocking on their heart, wanting them to change. It's a call to stop riding the fence. How many of us need to heed that call? If you're a Christian, he's saying, come back to me. If you're a non-Christian, he's saying, come to me. We need to think about doors that we touch today. We have a lot of different people that we touch. If you think about each individual as a different type of door, and how can we open that door? How can we get through to them to be part of Christ, part of the Christian way? We must open the door of our lives to Christ. Enter the door that is Christ. Pass through the door that is service. And come through the door to heaven, leading to eternal life. When it comes to the door or our lives, which our lives are a door, if Christ is a door, we are a door. A lot of people touch us. A lot of people open us. A lot of people talk to us. A door is something that we can relate to. It's something we have to go through. Which side are you on Christ's door? Which side are you? Have you opened the door to let Christ in truly? If not, I give you the opportunity to come forward and to make things known unto the congregation if you have anything that you'd like to present before us, or to enter into Christ's body and to open that door, open that first door, to go through that door and to be part of Christ and to touch him through the act of baptism. I offer you that opportunity as we stand and sing the invitation song.